Hey, if everybody has a Bible, turn your Bible with me to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25. I think my area is getting smaller and smaller here. Either we having way too many things around here or we... Whatever. In the business world, there's two very important things in the company. I don't understand much about the company, but there's two important things. This is something I can understand. Accounting payable, accounting receivable. Accounting payable is the one passing out the money. Accounting receivable, of course, you guys know what that means. You have to get the money from the people to exist that company. In my dumb mind, I say, well, take the all the money you can. Don't give out money. How'd that work? It doesn't work well. Why? Because pretty soon the company will be company will lose credit, and soon they have to file a bankruptcy. If you don't believe me, may I remind you, Enron. They didn't do accounting practice properly, and they didn't hire the right person for a right accounting firm properly, so they all went down the drain. End of a fiscal year, each accounting practice must be done proper way, otherwise we have a problem. In Christian life, we have the same situation. Not just Christian life, every human being must give, we must settle our account with God at the end of our life. Then are you ready to settle that account if the Lord comes? If As we finish this Olivet discourse, which is means the discourse on the Mount Olive, and he's finishing this teaching with this chapter. This is chapter we need to be careful about how we understand the rapture and the rest of things. I divide it into three sections. Verse 1 through 13, I find non-transferable personal salvation. From verse 14 through verse 30, I find faithful and unfaithful servants. From verse 31 to verse 46, I find practical servanthood. So, before we go any further, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it is our desire to learn from you. It is our desire to know your heart. And let us be ready and be watchful, be wise, and be ready, simply as we said, be ready. A lot of people are not ready. Teach us how to be ready. And when you come to us, to get us, you find us worthy to go with you through the blood of Jesus Christ. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 25. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to the 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now the 5 of them were the wise, 5 of them were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took the oil in their vessel with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. At midnight, the cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Underline next two verses, please. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answer said, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go red to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who already went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the virgin came also saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor hour in which the Son of Man is coming." As I mentioned before, and we learned from the Word of God, Word of God is inspired, is living and active and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit. So in other words, there's no errancy, no error whatsoever. There's no fault in the Word of God. It's perfect. However, chapter division and the verse divisions are not. They are done by human being. Mudra decays, they are good. However, there's some bad area. This is a case in point. This first portion of the chapter 25, verse 1 through 13, should be attached in the back of the chapter as of chapter 24. Why? Because it is still talking about rapture, and more precisely, it's talking about urgency of the rapture. In the Jesus day, we have to give a kind of background. Jesus day, the wedding is a lot different than our wedding. In our at that time, Jesus. Bridegroom comes to bride-to-be and they make an engagement and he goes away and they set the date. So everybody knows, the whole community knows when the wedding date. However, nobody knows when the bridegroom is going to come by to get his bride and take her to his house where there is a wedding festival and a wedding ceremony is going to be. Let's put that in our spiritual realm. Jesus Christ, who is our bridegroom, church is the bride. We don't know when he's coming back to get us. So in other words, we have to be ready all the time, waiting for the bridegroom, our Jesus Christ, our Savior, to come. And when he comes, he takes us into his place, which is heaven, and for our wedding ceremony and the festival. I think Jesus liked to eat. If you don't believe me, look at for some of the gospel. He invited himself for dinner. Don't you think? He likes to eat. That's why in Calvary Chapel, we live up to our name. We call ourselves Calvary Chapel. We eat. That's why we're going to do a potluck after this baptism. Five foolish virgins. These people were also ready. They are ready with the lamps and somewhat oil. What kinds of oil did they use? They had this stick, wood stick, and wrapped it with an oil-soaked rag. It lasts about 15 minutes. There's another way to do it is they can put another oil-soaked rag, or they can carry a little oil, dump it on that oil-soaked rag, continue to burn. Five of them who were wise had it. The other one did not have it. What do we understand this? See, these people, they were waiting for the bridegroom to come, but they were not really ready for the bridegroom to come. What do I mean? Throughout the Bible, we find oil represents what? Holy Spirit. So they were waiting for Jesus to come back, the bridegroom to come back without oil, without the Holy Spirit. How do we get to have a Holy Spirit? There's only one way to get to have a Holy Spirit in our heart. By receiving Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior, then we become born again. Jesus, Holy Spirit comes into our heart. Let's keep your finger right there, and let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians is located in the New Testament, from the Matthew, about 6-7 books behind. After Romans, 1 Corinthians, and 2 Corinthians chapter 1, please. Verse 21. Everybody got there? Now he who established us with you in Christ and has anointed us in God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our heart as what? A guarantee. Another verse says deposit. Let me tell you very clearly, guys. Listen carefully, please. If the rapture happened right now, listen, if the rapture happened right now, I feel that some of you will sit still sitting in this chair. What does it mean? What is the rapture? Rapture means when Jesus comes down to the air, not touching, landing all the way down to the earth, he's going to come down to the air to meet us. He's going to call us to heaven. We're going to literally... I don't know what you call it, evaporate and then fly away, literally fly away. without airplane, how can it be? That's a spiritual realm that I explain. However, we will go up to heaven. Those who are born again Christian will go up to heaven. If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, if the rapture happened right now, you will see a lot of empty chair, and you will stay here. I hope that that doesn't happen to you. I'm going to give you opportunity to go with us. Only way you can go with us is being born again. There's no other way. You're being a good person, good behavior will not make any difference. Because to him, our righteousness is nothing more than filthy rag. Let's go on to the next verse. Oh, I asked you to underline the verse 8 and 9. I almost forgot about that. I asked you to underline the verse 8 and 9. Let's go back there one more time. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for the lamp is our lamp is going out. But the wise said, saying that no less there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather, and goes on. What he's saying is that Holy Spirit is not transferable. Let me this way. Just because you're coming to the church doesn't mean you will become born-again Christian. Just because you are born in the Christian family doesn't mean a thing to God. Whatever you do, it doesn't matter. Oh, there's only one way to get to heaven. It's receiving Jesus Christ, as I said before. I cannot overemphasize this to you. It's not transferable. It's individual choice. You make a choice to get to heaven or not to get to heaven. That means there's one way. Either heaven or hell. It's your choice. Let's go into the verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave it 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own capability. And immediately he went on his journey. Then he who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. Each servant in this parable given the money according to his own capability. For your information, 1 talent is equivalent to 20 years of wage. So if you calculate that, first guy who received 5 talents, that is 100 years worth of wage. Let's say your household income is $30,000. That's translate to $3 million. That's a lot of money to handle. Second guy is for $1.2 million. And third guy, who got 1 talent, got the $600,000. That's a lot of responsibility to handle. It is valid to see that each talent that we see here is not only the money, but also ability and authority and time is very important. What do we do with each thing that we receive from God? Time, authority, ability, and wealth. They are given by God to us for us to use wisely for His glory. Are we wasting? Are we burying that thing so nobody can find it and just give it back to Him when we see Him? That should not be the answer. You might say, well, I don't have any talent, I cannot sing, I cannot teach, I cannot do anything. What did I do? Oh, is it something to do with the monitor? All right. Where was I? I'm lost. Okay, all right, I got it. I don't have any talent, I don't have anything to give to God. Really, you have a life. God gave us a life. I bet you can do something. Each of us receives something from God. And it's up to us to find it and up to us to utilize it for Him. And you may say, hey, I cannot do anything other than just stay home because I'm bedridden. You can pray. right? There's a lot of things can be done with a prayer. Actually, all of them should be start with prayer. Whether it's a small or big, we are accountable to God for what we have. If we only use them for our own benefit, not for the glory of God, someday we have to settle that account with God. I don't want to be the one who have to say, God, I buried this, I didn't use it, here you are. I don't want to be that one. And what's going to be the result of that? See, we find in verse 19 through 23 that the last servant had to answer why he buried it and did not use for the glory of God. However, it's never too late, ladies and gentlemen, it's never too late to start to use your talent for the glory of God. Let's go to verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of this servant came and settled account with them. So he who had received the 5 talents came and brought the 5 other talents and saying, Lord, you delivered to me the 5 talents, so I have gained 5 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done and good and faithful servant, and you were faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received the 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me the 2 talents, and look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Underline ruler in both locations, please. Enter into the joy of the Lord. These 3 servants fall into the 2 categories. One is a faithful and the other one is unfaithful category. Faithful servant, who, when they came to their master, they got the same commendation from their master. They were started as a slave, however, they became a ruler. 2 men, these people that utilized their talent for the glory of God. They did not waste away their time, their ability, and their gift. Ask yourself, please, are you using that talent, the God-given talent, for the glory of God, or just are you just bearing it? What did the master look for? Did he look for bottom line, or did he look for faithfulness and goodness? He looked for faithfulness and goodness, nothing else. Let's go into the verse 24. Then he who had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be the hard man, reaping the where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reaped where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he who has abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. As we read, the 3rd servant is unfaithful servant. He wasted his time. He was not rewarded. Why? Because he didn't bring the return in the investment. What did Jesus say about this man? He's lazy. Are you lazy spiritually? I hope not. I understand this is not only about the servanthood. This is about the being ready. But meanwhile, while we're being ready, are you sitting on your hand doing nothing? Again, I'm going to go back to the what kinds of things you can do. Some of you guys are real good at with fixing car. I can tell the difference between battery and the tire. I'm a real idiot when it comes to the car. I can fuel it. I can put the air in the tire. That's about as far as go. And other things, mechanical things and electrical things, plumbing, all that is, I'm not good at it, but I can carry things around. So in the morning, I come here early, and after we finish, I help the guys. I don't do a whole lot, but I help. Some of you guys are in the same way. So some of you guys can do a lot of things. Can you listen? Can you visit? If you can listen, can you visit some of the nursing home or rest home and listen to some of these old saints, old folks, and listen, just listen to them? Can you do that? Can you write a letter? Encourage people. Can you write a letter to the people in Iraq and Afghanistan, our soldiers? Can you encourage them? It doesn't take a whole lot of effort. Can you spread your wealth? I'm not talking about money-wise. I'm talking about your time, your effort. That's wealth too. Can you do that with other people? If you and I can sit down and talk, I can point out that you have no excuse, the reason why you cannot serve. Instead of coming up with an excuse that why you cannot serve, why don't you find a way to serve? To be honest with you, our church is blessed with a 45% volunteer ratio. A lot of churches don't have that much volunteer ratio. And to be honest with you, I want to be more than that. Actually, I want to be 100%. Why all of us should not be in the servanthood? Is there any reason why? Can you come up with one good reason why you cannot be in the servanthood? Why can't you serve God? By not serving God, you are robbing yourself from the joy of servanthood, knowing that you're serving mighty and you're blessing other people. I don't see any reason. Christian life is not a spectator life. Christian life is getting involved, blessing other people, blessing God. By doing so, you are the one who's going to get blessed more than ever before. All right. Let's continue. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, please. Back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's see what God says about that servanthood. Chapter 5, verse 8. We are confident, yes, well-pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in body according to what he has done, whether good or bad, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. And we pursued man, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciousness. Let's go to the First Corinthians chapter 3, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. And for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work and what sort it is. What does it mean? Our work will be judged according to motive, according to something we do not see. Only God sees. By His eyes, in my opinion, this fire is His sight, His wisdom. It will go through the fire, and whatever comes out will be turned into either straw or gold or precious stone. Of course, straw will burn, and there will be nothing left. So if I do things with the motive that I want to exalt myself, it will come out nothing. But if I do things with a pure motive, for the glory of God, it will come out as precious stone, or gold, or silver. And then another portion in the scripture says, that will be my jewel on the crown. Do I want all the jewelry of my crown? Yes. I want to be the top dog in the heaven. God says how he teaches us how to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. Be the servant of all. There's no other way around. Our readiness for the Jesus' return is determined by our stewardship of the resources we are allowed to have. Some think that the coming of the Lord is some sort of mystical thing. It is not. It's clearly written in the Word of God. And are you ready for that? Are you ready, not only ready, spiritually ready, are you ready to tell God, here's my return on investment back to you. Can you give it back to Him? If not, why not start now? All right. Let's put it this way. Do you know what the meaning of sins of omission? You know what the sins of omission means? Sins of doing nothing. Like that the one servant who didn't do nothing, that's the sins of omission. Sins of omission as dangerous as sins of commission. Sins of commission means sin, committing a sin. So if you are not doing what you're supposed to do, that is a sin. Do you hear me? If you're told to do something and you are not doing it, that is sin. That's a disobedience to God. Sins of omission is as dangerous as the sins of commission. Please remember that. That is an important fact. Let's continue in verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all His holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them from one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goat on the left. The king will say to those who are on the right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty, give you a drink? And when did we see you a stranger, naked, take you in, and naked, and clothe you? And when we see you or sick and or in prison, we come to you. And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did to one of this least of these brethren, you did it to me. Then he noticed how it's said. Everything is you did this, you did this, you did this. And the righteous people were kind of surprised. When did we do this kind of thing to you? And he said, when you do the least of my brethren, you did it to me. And the next portion is a completely different style. Then he will also say to those who are left on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, you gave me no food to live here. And I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. And I was a stranger, you did not take me in, naked, and you did not clothe me, sick in the prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, the Lord, when did we see you hungry and thirsty and a stranger, naked or sick in the prison, did not minister to you? Then he will answer to them and saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of this list of these, you did not do it to me. And this will go your way in an everlasting punishment, but righteous into the eternal life. See, that this is the judgment for the individual based all over the nation. As I said, both were surprised, guilty and innocent. They were surprised that they did not know they were doing and they were not doing. They were helping Jesus and they were neglecting Jesus. They both asked, when did we help you and neglect you? And he said, when you do the least of this, my brethren. About 14 years ago, I started a prison ministry from Calvary, from one of the Assembly of God in Tucson. my time going out to prison was every Saturday. And I was in the middle of an orientation class in the prison as a volunteer, and was sitting there, and I was asking God, God, what am I in the world doing in here? Why am I sitting in the prison and then going through this volunteer class to be a volunteer for the prison inmate whom I used to hate? God didn't answer to me right away. A few days later, I was watching the CBN 700 Club, and during the commercial, this very verse was recited. And God spoke to my heart clearly, that's why you're doing it. You're doing it to the least of my brethren. Those guys who are called to be a social trash, the criminals, the prison inmate, convicts, who are worthless in our thought. However, to God, they are his list of his brethren. That's why I was doing it. And I did that for 12 years. God kept me there, even though I used to hate them, and I learned to love them. See, guys, there's no limit what you can do if you are willing. God is not looking for somebody who is capable. God is not looking for somebody who is equipped. God will call you and he will equip you. He's not looking for somebody who has a capability, but he is looking for somebody who has availability. Are you available? In my opinion, all of you are. If you are born again Christian, all of you are available, you are called to serve God one way or another. Do you want to be the one who buried his gift and not respond and commit the sins of omission? Or do you want to be the one who is going to respond and serve him and bring glory to him? And then end time, he will say, well done and good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Which one would that be? Do you want to serve him or do you want to neglect him? Your choice again. It's always our choice. Let's make an application. Number one, we need to examine our heart for the moment of rapture. We need to examine our heart for the moment of rapture. Either you will go with Jesus or you will be left behind. Do you want to be left behind? That's up to you. Let me put it this way. Let's say we are all, not really. Let's say there is a plane coming along to get us. Because this place where we're standing is going to be demolished eventually. It is up to us to go out and grab the ticket. In this flight is only available to the flight, those who have a ticket. But tickets are already paid for. But many people will say, nah, well, this place will be just fine. It's not going to be demolished. Or some people will say, I'll pick up that ticket later. I'll do it later. Later. Guess what? Plane landed. And a lot of people got on board. And plane took off. And all of a sudden you realize, I get that ticket. Here, I have a ticket. What good that ticket will do when the plane is gone? Do you want to take a chance? I hope not. I'm going to give you a chance a little later to grab that ticket. It is a free because somebody paid for it. With his life and death. And he rose again, conquered the death. Second application, let's make ourselves available. Let's make ourselves available to him instead of coming up with a sorry excuse why we cannot serve him. God knows what we can do. As I said before, he's not looking for somebody who has capability. But God is looking for somebody who says, yes, I am available to you, God. Are you the one? All of us should be. Let's stand up and pray.